During these Sundays prior to Easter, we'll look at some of the sins that Jesus bore with him to Calvary. This morning we look at the sin of worry, and I invite you to turn with me to Jesus' teaching in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 25th verse, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Some years ago, the psychologist Richard Carlson wrote a best-selling book that was intended to help people deal with their anxieties and great concerns. You may be familiar with the book. Certainly, you've heard of the title of the book. The book was titled, "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff." Don't sweat the small stuff. Carlson got the idea for the book while driving his, at the time, 6-year-old daughter back and forth to her school in San Francisco every day. They took the San Francisco Expressway. Many of you can identify with rush hour traffic on 280, but multiply that experience that you have on 280 by infinity, and you will have some understanding of what it's like to drive the San Francisco Expressway. More times than not, especially in the morning and the afternoon, it's like a parking lot. One day, Carlson said he was driving and his daughter was in the car seat, and she asked a probing question. "Daddy, why are all of these people angry?" And Carlson said, "I looked around and sure enough, they just had these mean expressions on their faces. Every one had a scowl, and I began to think about that. What answer could I give my daughter?" "Well, honey, they're anxious to get to where they're going. They've got things to do. They've got people to see. They've got projects to complete. They're upset that we're not making any progress." He said, "I began to think more deeply about the sources of their anger, the concerns that no doubt each of them had about family and finances and health, and the whole experience led him to write the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff." And many of you will remember the subtitle to the book, "And It's All Small Stuff." And I know what you're thinking. I'm thinking the same thing. I've read the book. Easy for you to say. Easy for you to say that I shouldn't sweat the stuff in my life, that it's all small stuff. From your vantage point, it may not seem like what I'm having to deal with is such a big deal, but if you only knew how crippling, how paralyzing, how burdensome it is. None of it is small stuff, not to me. No doubt many of you thinking about the things that keep you up at night, you will agree it doesn't seem to you to be small stuff at all, not when you have to bear it. I remember reading the story of a stress management expert who was giving a lecture on how we handle all of the pressures and responsibilities in life. At a course during the lecture. At some point, he reached under the lectern and he brought out a small glass of water, and he asked the audience to whom he was presenting the lecture, how heavy do you think this glass of water is? And people began to respond. They offered responses anywhere from 10 ounces to 16 ounces. And the expert said, well, you're probably close in terms of the absolute value, the absolute weight of this glass of water, but that's not really what I'm getting at. I'm getting at something much deeper. This glass of water, regardless of the absolute weight, if I hold the glass up for a minute, it really doesn't matter. It's not heavy at all. If I hold it up for an hour, then the glass begins to become something of a burden. If I hold it up much longer than that, you're going to have to call an ambulance to get me because I'll be in trouble. The absolute weight of the water does not matter. It's not heavy at all. If you hold it for a small amount of time, but when you hold it up for an extended period of time, the burden of that tiny glass of water, that small stuff, becomes almost unbearable. Many of you can relate to that example. You've been holding small stuff in your life for quite some time, but now what you've been holding is at the point of getting the best of you, and you don't know how much longer you can keep it up. That's why this morning you need to hear the words of Jesus speaking to his disciples, helping them to understand that we place these terrible burdens upon ourselves when we hold our concerns in our own power, when we insist on handling the daily responsibilities totally by ourselves instead of trusting each of these matters to God. This morning I've read for you a short passage of Scripture from Jesus' most famous set of teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, teachings that Jesus gave to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven and the importance of our connecting with God's preeminence, God's rule, God's reign here on earth, now, in the midst of our everyday experience, that we connect with God's preeminence here on earth as God always reigns preeminently in heaven. And in this section on the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is doing, he is elaborating on certain sections of the Lord's Prayer. Every Sunday here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And when you analyze the framework, the structure of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in so many respects, it's simply Jesus' way of helping people to understand what we are praying for God to do. In this particular verse of Scripture that I've read for you from the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is elaborating on the 4th petition, the part of the prayer that goes, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus is saying to his disciples with this teaching that if we honestly mean what we are praying for, if we look to God to be responsible for our most pressing needs if we trust our lives each day, one day at a time, to God and to God's ability to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And what, pray tell, do we have to worry about? If we mean what we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And if we believe what we are praying, that God can do that, then what do we have to worry about? And so Jesus says to his disciples, look, isn't life about more than what you eat or what you drink? Isn't your life more about what you wear? It's more about your body. Isn't your life about aligning every moment of your existence with what God is about in this world? And so Jesus, in this teaching, chides his disciples. He uses a figure of speech that on the surface may appear as if Jesus is at the point of exasperation with his disciples. He refers to them as ye of little faith. But what really Jesus is saying to his disciples is that he believes in them. He believes that if they can take their little faith as small as it appears to be, and they can exercise just the small measure of faith that they have in the greatness of God and in His kingdom purposes, then there is no end to what this great God can do through our little lives if only we will trust our every moment to Him. And so Jesus gives them the signal teaching in the Sermon on the Mount that above everything else, he phrases it in this way, seek first, above everything else, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let that be your consuming passion. And when in your life you're no longer concerned about meeting your own needs. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? How am I going to make things happen? If instead you trust your life to God and to God's rule and God's reign, and you connect with what God is already about in this world, then everything else that you need in life will be added unto you. So what is Jesus saying? Is he saying that we shouldn't be concerned about what we eat or what we wear, what we drink, how we clothe ourselves, how we protect ourselves? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is simply saying that to be unduly concerned and anxious and to worry about things that are beyond our control, if you look at this teaching, is illogical. Because at the end of the day, every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Not only that, if you look at this teaching, you go into more of the motivation behind what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's inane that you can't add even an hour to your mortal life. Most of all, it's irreverent. Because when you become unduly concerned about your life and about what you can do to manage your life, then in essence you are making the desires of your life your God. And as Jesus teaches in the passage previous to this one, no one can serve two masters. He will love one, he will hate the other. You cannot serve God and stuff. When you sweat the small stuff, you lose focus of what God is about in the world and how God is inviting you to join with Him in doing what is necessary to bring God's kingdom purposes to pass, you are no longer able to see the needs that exist around you and how God can work through you to meet those needs because you are too focused upon yourself. Seek first, above everything. It's a priority. God's kingdom purposes. And everything else will be added unto you. Put first things first, and second things will be added unto you. Put second things first, and you will lose both first and second things. So this morning, as you think about all of the concerns that are weighing you down, all of the anxieties that are robbing you of rest, all of the burdens that you are shouldering because you feel as if you have to shoulder them, they are paralyzing you and they are crippling you. This morning, what might your life look like? How might your life be if instead of bearing them in your own power, you release them to God? It would mean that you would then be free to join God in the kingdom work that God is doing all around you. You can connect with God in ways that enable you to experience life in all of its fullness. The reason that I think this teaching is so important, this teaching against worry. Why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry about what you eat or drink? Why do you worry about what you wear? Why do you become so obsessed with it? Instead, focus your attention, your energies on the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall into place. The reason that I think this is so pressing is because of all of the sin and worry. This type of worry, this degree of anxiety is indeed, make no mistake about it, it is sin. The reason that this teaching of Jesus is so important for people like us who live in a community like this community, is because worry is what we might call the most respectable of sins. We know about unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, but have you ever thought about what might be considered the most respectable of sins? I would cast my vote for worry. Oh, you people, can you appreciate what I have to deal with and all the concerns that I have? I am so busy and have so much on my plate, and I know that you do as well. You see how this narrative goes. We're so worried because we're so important. And we think it's okay for us to shoulder our burdens. But you look at this list of sins that Jesus speaks against in the Sermon on the Mount. If I were to ask a show of hands this morning, how many of you are worried today? You don't have to raise your hand. But a lot of you would be. You would be ready to do so because you've got these concerns. Be quick to acknowledge it. If I said this morning, how many of you have committed murder? How many of you have committed adultery? How many of you have wanted to retaliate against a neighbor? How many of you have purposely lied and failed to keep a vow? And yet, worry is a respectable sin. When we shoulder our concerns
We bear them upon ourselves instead of trusting them to God. What Jesus is saying is that our undue anxiety separates us from the power of God in the same way that every other sin does. No sin is respectable in God's sight, so that the sin of worry is indeed a sin that Jesus shouldered upon himself in going to the cross. He paid the price for our worry just in the same way that he paid the price for every other sin that anyone could ever commit. In fact, I look at the Gospel of John, and that night prior to his crucifixion, Jesus meets with his disciples and he offers them a farewell set of teachings. And one of the teachings Jesus offered is a teaching designed to address the anxiety and the worry and the concern that they will feel once Jesus is taken from them. And you know the teaching so well. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, he looks at his disciples. And what does he tell them? Let not your hearts be troubled. One of the last things Jesus says to them. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus was telling his disciples that he would take their worry, their anxiety, their concern, and he would bear that sin at Calvary in such a way that he might rob worry of its power over us, so that our little faith that sweats small stuff in comparison to the kingdom of God might be transformed into a big faith. A faith that believes that with God all things are possible. So this morning, if life has you down and there's stuff that's keeping you up at night, if there are concerns that are sucking the life right out of you, then change your focus, Jesus says. And above everything else, give your attention to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And step back and relax and be at peace and watch how God begins to work in you and how God begins to work through you, so that in terms of what really matters in life, you will never lack for anything. You will never lack for anything.